Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending time with me today. Whatever term you use to describe the results of the 2018 midterm elections, the fact is a record number of women were elected to serve in the 116th Congress, many of them first-time candidates. You know, this wasn't really a coincidence. It was part of a grassroots movement to put real people in power rather than rotely re-elect career politicians. Documentarian Rachel Lear's new film, Knock Down the House, follows four first-time candidates from the very beginning days of their campaigns. Paula Jean Swearengin in West Virginia, Cori Bush in Missouri, Amy Villela in Nevada, and a New York waitress named Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The cameras follow these candidates every step of the way. Here, for example, is AOC preparing for a televised debate with longtime New York rep Joe Crowley.
I can do this.
I know you can.
I am experienced enough to do this. I am knowledgeable enough to do this. I am prepared enough to do this. I am mature enough to do this. I am brave enough to do this. And this whole thing, this whole time, he's gonna tell me I can't do this. He's gonna tell me I'm small, that I'm little, that I'm young, that I'm inexperienced.
Knock Down the House premieres on Netflix and in select theaters May 1st, and we're joined by director Rachel Lears. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, and former congressional candidate for Nevada's 4th District, Amy Villela, joins us on the phone. Hi, Amy.
Hi, hello, Amy. How are you doing?
We're doing great. So, Rachel, you thought you were done making political films, and then the 2016 election happened. When you decided to jump back into the fray, what story did you want to tell?
Well, not done necessarily. I just thought I might take
a break.
Yeah, I'd had a baby that year, and I thought I might want to do something a little different. But, you know, I really wanted to find a story about people coming together from different places geographically and personally and culturally in the country to produce a vision for a positive future for this country, and not just to go back to the way things were before mm-hmm. the election, but to really build something even better, even a more just and a more equitable country. And so that led me to the organization's Brand New Congress and Justice Democrats, which were recruiting extraordinary, ordinary people to run for Congress and to really build a pathway to the halls of power for people who don't ordinarily have a chance to get there. You know, so the film is really about the relationship between money in politics and representation in politics. All of these candidates refuse corporate donations, and they're running grassroots campaigns to create a space for communities that have historically felt not represented by their elected officials to engage in the political process and to build a new kind of representation.
These two grassroots organizations, it's really interesting. Someone could nominate you. AOC's brother nominated her. Amy, who nominated you?
I think it was actually some of the activists in the community who were with me side by side fighting for policies that, such as Medicare for All and protections for people who were here undocumented. So I'm not really sure, to be honest.
Somebody thought you'd be good in Congress. These two organizations, Brand New Congress and Justice Democrats. Now, Justice Democrats, they focus on Democratic candidates. But Brand New Congress, it claims to be nonpartisan. Their T-shirt is purple, in fact.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of put on your journalist brain, were they really nonpartisan?
Yeah, they were. I do think, you know, they were able to recruit more Democrats than Republicans, but they did recruit a couple of Republicans. And, you know, I think what the film shows is this really interesting nexus that we're in American politics, where a lot of the policy positions that are sometimes considered leftist are actually broadly popular. And okay. So, you know, you could also just call them populist. And as Alexandria says in the film, and all the candidates have said at some point or another on the campaign trail, it's not about left or right. This is about up and down. This is about policies that benefit the majority of Americans. And it's about creating a place in the political process and in the government for regular working people and their concerns.
How do these organizations, how do they support the candidates. They get the candidates in a room. There's this great scene where they're all sort of meeting each other for the first time. Over the course of the campaigns, how are they supported by these groups?
Well, I think the groups provided initial support and guidance throughout the process, but really the lifeblood of each of these campaigns was the volunteers in each individual community.
Sure.
So I really want to highlight that. I mean, in each of these locations, it was just incredible to see the way people were stepping up to knock those doors, to make the phone calls, to hand out literature, to have those conversations, those peer-to-peer conversations between voters. I mean, the candidates themselves did a huge amount of it, but no one person can knock every door in a congressional district. So, you know, it really does take that volunteer labor. So what the film shows is a model of grassroots organizing in the electoral process that's really the only effective way to challenge big money.
So, Amy, what were you doing before you decided to run?
Well, I was a CFO, a chief financial officer. I had just gotten involved in the politics, and like many of the other people who have run across this country as kind of the insurgent candidates in 2018, many of us were thrown into politics, not knowing that we'd ever, or not foreseeing that that would ever be where we would end up. But when we have policies and a situation in America that's creating loss and hurt and struggle, a lot of people decided, you know, it's time for us to have a seat at that table. So I went from being a CFO to a candidate for Congress.
What was that moment when you really made the transition in your brain from, I'm thinking about doing this, to I'm actually going to do this?
That's an interesting question, because initially when they approached me, people were approaching me in the community run, I was like, you're nuts. Like, no, I'm not going to run for Congress. And so I actually went on a crusade to try to find someone. And I started talking with people, and everyone was scared. Initially, I was running against a seated congressman who was well-beloved as well. And I came to the point, and I remember this distinctly, I was sitting up in the room where I have my daughter's belongings and her ashes. And I thought, you know, I'm scared. But after everything she's been through and knowing that we need to have a voice, I knew that was the moment that if not me, then who? And I was going to take it on and make sure that we had, if nothing else, that we were changing the conversation.
My guests are Amy Villela, former congressional candidate for Nevada's 4th District, and Rachel Lears. We're talking about the new documentary, Knock Down the House. And Amy, you mentioned your daughter, and a large motivation for your campaign was the tragic death of your daughter. What was it about her death? What did it expose about America's healthcare system that you demand be fixed?
You know, I was very surprised when I started putting the pieces together of my daughter's death. We're alleging that she was turned away from getting treatment because she could not provide proof of insurance. I was actually out of town on business when I received a phone call from Shalyn. She was in the ER and she was crying. Mommy, they're not helping me. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're not helping you. She's like, I'm begging them for testing. She was begging them for blood work. And they told her to go get insurance and see a specialist, that they were not a doctor's office. At the time, I did not know, and neither did she. She had a blood clot in her leg, and that's why it was red and swollen. The hospital violated what we have a law called EMTALA to try to protect. But the more that I started researching and going through the process of filing suit in court, and understanding how wide this problem is, I remember that day when I realized that my daughter wasn't just a tragedy, that there were 35,000 people a year dying from a lack of health insurance. And I remember just crying. Mm-hmm. And being a CFO, I understand fully what goes on in the boardrooms. And I understand the pressure that was coming down on the healthcare providers. My sister herself was an RN, and she's actually the one that was there when Shalyn passed away and helped me put it all together. And I knew at that point that, you know, again, from my job position, that profit motive doesn't belong in healthcare. And I started reading about, I remember this was right around the time that Bernie ran, and I heard about this thing called single-payer healthcare, and I was like, what do you mean? What, it doesn't come from your job? And I started looking at the bill and doing the math, and then I knew that we need, this was what made sense fiscally for companies, for families, but it also made sense morally to me, and that we needed to have a voice out there. So I started off in activism.
Rachel, the film features these four different candidates. They're from different parts of the country, West Virginia, Nevada, New York, and Missouri. Despite these regional differences, and besides their gender, what do they have in common?
Well, all four of these candidates do come from working class backgrounds. They have real personal experiences, Amy has seen firsthand the injustice in the healthcare system. Corey, as a nurse and a pastor and an activist in Ferguson, Missouri, has seen firsthand injustice in the criminal justice system and the police brutality that exists in our communities. Alexandria is intimately familiar with economic inequality and how that affects everyday people in New York and elsewhere, and Paula Jean Swearingen has seen the health effects and environmental mm-hmm. degradation of the fossil fuel industries, which are intimately connected with politics in the state of West Virginia. So each of them really brings that personal experience, not just of the everyday struggles that most people have in this country, but also a real sense of how those are connected to politics. It's bringing mm-hmm. together the personal and political, and really connecting those dots between money in politics and the representation that we have. And so each of them really felt the call to step up and offer themselves as an alternative to politics as usual.
I want to talk about AOC a little bit, because obviously we're a New York-based station.
Yeah.
What struck you about her initially that you thought, yes, this is a woman we should follow as a subject and that possibly really could win this?
Well, I think, I chose all four of these women because they all really felt like this is someone I want to watch on screen no mm-hmm. matter what happens with the election, because they were all,
interesting
yeah. people, incredibly courageous and inspiring to me. And I knew that technically all of these races was considered a long shot, but I also knew that, we're talking about midterm primaries. Nobody ever polls these races. All bets are off in U.S. elections right now. There is the capacity to, if you're going to run a campaign that engages people who don't usually vote, interesting things can happen. And that's what all of these campaigns were doing. So, I was really, I was struck by that with Alexandria. I was struck with her a capacity to really talk about complex and nuanced political issues in a way that regular people can understand. But again, I think that was something that I saw in all four of these candidates. And I really was particularly interested in the fact that they were running together on a slate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they were going to be in contact and supporting one another, this was always going to be a film that was about a national movement. My last film, The Hand That Feeds, was totally New York-based, took place mostly on the corner of 63rd Street and 2nd Avenue. And, great, great story. And that was a fantastic experience to make as well. But I really wanted to tie together the stories from the different parts of the country. So for me, one of the most powerful things about traveling around the country and being part of these campaigns and getting to know these women and the people that were surrounding them and the communities that they lived in was just, in spite of the differences, how similar the struggles are for people around this country.
I want to ask you two editorial questions as a filmmaker and a journalist. I thought it was interesting that you pointed out a couple of the missteps that AOC made. She got personal about Joe Crowley's family, and it was a little bit of might not have been the best move. And then you also included Joe Crowley when one of his constituents called her a stupid girl, correcting him and saying, she's not stupid. We're just opponents. Why was it important for you to include those two things?
Well, I think first of all, you know, we are independent filmmakers. We maintain a very strict independence from the campaigns editorially. We had those conversations all along the way. You know, we're not going to be able to share footage for ads or anything like that. You know, so we did maintain that journalistic independence. But as part of that, you know, we really wanted to show to the best of our ability, you know, I think the nuances of the races. And none of the opponents agreed to speak to us on camera. We spent the most time trying to get an interview with Joe Crowley, and he wasn't willing to do it. But there were the debates, and there were some public events like the Queen's Pride Parade in the scene that you mentioned. And so so we wanted to include kind of those moments that complicate things as well. We didn't, just as we don't want to caricature our main characters, we don't want to caricature anybody else either, and really want to make sure that voters have enough information to make their own decisions about what they think about the story.
Amy, when you were running, when you were going door to door talking to people in Nevada, what kind of things did you hear them tell you that you don't really hear on the national news, or you don't necessarily see in the mainstream papers?
I think it was really, really sad to me at many points that people really felt voiceless. They felt like they weren't paying attention to politics because they felt like their vote wouldn't matter. That politicians weren't really interested in what was happening down in the you know, their cities. You know, interestingly enough, we put our campaign headquarters in the area that of Las Vegas that needed the most help, and people were shocked. And they were shocked to see actually someone running for office at their door and talking to them about issues and being personal and sharing their own personal stories. It was very interesting to see how disengaged the community as a whole is from the political process, and how absolutely, you know, voiceless they feel in the whole process. That's the real struggle going forward politically is how do we get people engaged and feel like they have a voice and a seat at that table? Because after all, you know, a politician is a public servant. And I always say this, not a public celebrity. And so it was very interesting and really, really showed me we still have a lot of work to do to get people back involved so that we get policies that are passed that actually are there for the people.
My guests are Amy Villela, former congressional candidate for Nevada's 4th District, and director Rachel Lears. We're talking about the documentary Knock Down the House, which premieres on Netflix and will be in select theaters on May 1st. So talking about people engaging, Amy, this is for you, and Rachel, you can comment on this as well. You know, we want more people to run for office, but it is a huge sacrifice, personally, professionally, financially, to run for office these days. It's really clear the enormous risk that all of these candidates took. Let's take a little bit of a listen to this clip, and then I'll ask a question on the other side.
This is not a game to me. This is not an opportunistic move for me.
Got a good grip.
I turned my back on an executive level job. I sold my house. I've gone into debt. In the beginning, it was a tough decision, but I would do it again in a heartbeat now.
So, Amy, you put your life on the line and you put things right out there. Was it worth the risk to do it?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things when people tell me that, you know, I'm sorry for the loss of your daughter. And I say, thank you. I said, but she also gave me a gift when she passed. You know, I was this very career-driven businesswoman. I had to work my way through poverty. I was on food stamps at one time and, you know, Medicaid and so everything I thought would be, everything would be safe and secure as long as I was able to keep climbing that ladder and provide financially for my family. But when she died, she reminded me that we're only as safe and secure as the most vulnerable in our communities. And she gave me back the gift of myself and remembering where I came from and remembering what life really is about. It's about community. And so, yeah, I would do it over again.
Amy, have you seen the whole film?
I have.
Now that you've looked at the film and you've had a moment to step away, when you think back on your campaign, Was there anything you think you could have done differently that might have led to you winning?
Yes, most definitely. You know, that's an interesting thing to talk about as well, because the whole slate of us were, we had no institutional support. And we were running off of really just a gut feeling and trying to do the best we could with the little funds we had. This time around, it'd be a lot different. We have that institutional knowledge now. Mm-hmm. Now we know what it takes to win. One of the things I didn't do, we had a really heavy ground game, but each district is very different. In my district, it took sending out mailers, and we didn't do that. And that would have made a huge difference. But, you know, these are all things that all of us knew going in, that it was a high risk. And a lot of people, regardless of whether you're an insurgent candidate or not, don't win your first run. What was most important to all of us, all of us were in it to win it, but what was secondly most important to all of us was, if we don't win it, we're going to change the conversation. And I can attest that I believe every one of us did in our communities and across this nation. If we even look at the presidential campaign now in the Democratic Party, they're all talking about the issues that all of us ran on. So, you know, it was lessons learned, but I think we also were successful in some areas of our campaigns as well.
Are you going to run again?
I definitely will run again. I'm not done yet.
Rachel, as people watch this film, we've got about 1 million people running for the Democratic nomination now. I think 1,000,001, somebody else jumped on yesterday. What do you think some of the lessons that could be learned from the candidates by the way that these four women ran their races?
Well, I think that, you know, what we're hoping to do with the film is not just offer inspiration and support and, you know, fodder, fuel for thought to people who are running, although that's part of it. I mean, I hope that more people step up to run across the board from local to the federal. It's the foundation of our democracy, is that anyone should be able to run for office. We should have vital primaries. The nominees of each party shouldn't be chosen by some small group in a boardroom somewhere. They should be chosen by the people in a democratic process. So I think that's great. But I do hope, too, that the film really shows people who might feel disempowered by the political process, who might feel like there's nothing in it for them. You know, as Amy was describing, she saw that in her campaign. All four of these candidates did. I saw it traveling around the country, and I see it all the time, you know, when I talk to people about the film. A lot of people feel like there's no point because they don't see themselves and their experiences reflected in their elected officials and in the behavior of their elected officials. And so by showing that a different model of campaign is possible, and that it is possible for a different kind of person to be successful, to run a viable campaign and to change the conversation and to win, what I really hope the film can do is show people that it's worth participating in the political process, from voting to organizing in your community, maybe being part of supporting a campaign, to stepping up to run if you feel that suits you. So we're really hoping the film can push that conversation forward. We've got on our website, knockdownthehouse.com, you can sign up to host community screenings and house parties. We're going to have a discussion guide coming out, completely nonpartisan. The film is actually appeals to, we've had great responses from even conservative viewers who have seen it, though it does deal with four Democratic candidates. As I said earlier, it's not about left or right. It's about up and down, and about the what it looks like and what it means for working people to have true representation in government.
It did make me think, though, that someone like Pete Buttigieg, maybe 12 years ago, people would have said, like, that's not happening. Well, it's sort of happening, you know, and it's, he's running a campaign that's very similar to some of the ones in the film.
Well, you know,
I'm not asking you to pick a candidate. I just think it's interesting that like we wouldn't have been having this these conversations sure. about Pete Buttigieg 16
yeah,
years ago.
Absolutely. I think that is I think that's true, and I think that's also an unintended, or you know, it's an interesting consequence too of Trump's election, that you know some people will say that he, as an example, shows just how important experience is. But I think that by the same token, if he can do it, other people can do it. And there's a positive in that, in the way that has kind of opened the doorway to people who wouldn't otherwise think that it was worth trying to try. And I think that that's only going to make our democracy stronger as more and more people get involved.
My guests have been Amy Villela and Rachel Lears. The documentary is called Knock Down the House. It will be in select theaters and on Netflix on Wednesday, May 1st. Amy and Rachel, thanks for being on All of It.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.